Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
As the body of Christ, living and breathing, touching and healing as we minister in Jesus' name here on earth, we have the ability to affect people around us in incredible ways. Each of us has a calling and a role in the kingdom of God here on earth. What is your calling? What is your purpose? Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 22 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 12 through 16.
A good tree will bring forth good fruit. Bad tree will bring forth bad fruit. And so when a person is genuinely born again, God the Holy Spirit plants in his or her heart a desire to obey God, a desire to walk with God, a desire to do things for the glory of God. God puts that in your heart. Now, you and I keeping the commandments of God or walking in the will of purposes of God is not the reason that we are saved. It's the fruit or the evidence of being saved. Some people see a conflict between Paul's doctrine of salvation by grace and James says that salvation is by works. That's not a conflict. That's a perfect balance. When a person is saved by grace through faith in Christ, they are going to bring forth works of salvation. In other words, the works are the evidence that the faith is genuine. It's much more than knowing a bunch of information. It's having a new heart. It's having a new life. It's living for the glory of God. It's living for the glory of Jesus Christ. And just like Jesus said to Mary and Joseph, "Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business once you are born again?" Your desire is to be about your Father's business. Your desire is to do the things that please Him, that honor Him, that bring Him glory. You see, it's much more than coming to church, which is fruit. It's much more than sitting in those green chairs or me standing behind this pulpit. It's more than putting money in a box. It's about a life that is surrendered to Christ. And it's about serving Him and honoring Him and bringing glory to Him. There will be fruit. There will be evidence. You will be passing on that faith to others. In other words, you know, you can't give away something that you don't have. If you've got a cold, you know, like when we get a cold in our house, and there's one going through the house now, so please don't come up and shake my hand afterwards. If I shook your hand, take some of this cleaner and, you know, forgot. If you have a cold, you can give it to someone else. If you're born again, you're going to pass that on to other people. It's going to be the overflow of your life. You're going to be contagious. You've got Jesus-itis. And other people know about it. They're infected by it because you're contagious. You're contagious. You spread Jesus wherever you go, whatever you do. It could be playing sports. It could be name it. You're just going to spread Jesus where you go by your words and by your actions. And that's because if you're born again, your life is going to show it. It's going to show it because it is the work of the Spirit of God. By the way, the prophet Jeremiah and the prophet Ezekiel says that when a person is born again, God would put His Spirit in you. He would give you a new heart. Romans 8:14 says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." You can't lead yourself. You're led by the Spirit of God. Why? Because you're a new creature and you're always seeking for ways to glorify Him and to honor Him. Not to obtain eternal life because of an act of worship, because you have eternal life. You see how that works? You do. You guys have to be careful because with my iPad, I have a camera on here. I may just pull it aside and say, okay, smile. And it's not forced. It's not that once you're born again, you've got to be convinced at gunpoint. It's a natural flow. You want to do the work of God. God's put ministry in you. He's put desires in you. He's put gifts in you. He's put talents in you. And the most supernaturally natural thing is to use those gifts and talents and abilities to bless others and to bring him glory. And Jesus says that when he returns, that we are going to be rewarded. We're going to stand before him. Now, you and I can tell when, oh, I do everything I do with the right motive. I've never had a bad motive in my life. Is that you? Not me. If that's you, I want to stand about 500 yards behind you at the judgment seat, because I know that there's going to be a little smoke coming down on all of us. But God help us to do what we do for the right reasons and for his glory and for his honor, not for applause, not for recognition, not for promotion, not for notoriety, not so that we feel good, but that he would be glorified. I've often wondered how many things Jesus did beyond scripture, behind the scenes, that aren't even recorded. Well, the Lord recognizes every little thing that you and I do for him. May we make sure that we do it with the right heart, with the right motive. There is a doctrine, a heretical doctrine, that is universalism. And it basically teaches that at the end of the world as we know it, all individuals are going to end up in heaven. Well, beloved, the fact that Jesus spoke about the reality of a place called hell is proof that the doctrine of universal salvation is a lie and unbiblical. Look at the individuals in verse 15 who will not make it into the kingdom of God. And if you're taking notes, I would encourage you to write down also these other sections. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. And Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Each one of those lists tell us people that will be excluded from the eternal city. Notice what's at the top of the list in verse 15. Dogs. Now, we're not talking about Lassie here or Rin Tin Tin, all right? Dogs in the Bible were considered despicable creatures in New Testament times. They were applied to people who were of low moral character. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, that term was used to describe the legalistic Judaizers. In the Old Testament, that term was used to describe the unfaithful leader. In Isaiah chapter 56, verse 10, or the homosexual prostitutes in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 18. Second group that will not enter into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, are sorcerers. The Greek pharmaeus, the Hebrew kashaf. And the word pharmaeus is, no doubt, it speaks of druggists, the improper, illicit use of drugs. But the Hebrew word means to whisper a spell, to enchant, to practice magic, witchcraft, or a magician. Whoremongers, sorcerers, so I guess Harry Potter's not going to make it. Whoremongers, Greek word, pornos, in its most strict definition, it means a male prostitute, can mean a libertine. Its widest interpretation is a fornicator. Now, who would that be? Well, according to the Bible, this person would be anybody involved in any sexual act performed outside of the marriage covenant. And that marriage covenant is a heterosexual covenant entered into before God between a man and a woman. Isn't it a shame I've actually got to say it like that now? Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. I know that what I just said is not politically correct, but it does. You know, you go back to the book of Genesis, and not only did God create Adam and Eve, and you guys know it. I mean, we're adults. He could only tell Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, correct? I mean, I was even reading last night, maybe the night before, just reading through, you know, the Old Testament, and how the Lord shut Noah and his family in the ark, and in came all of the animals, male and female, to, you know, male and female elephant, not two male elephants, not two female tigers. Why? Because the species cannot reproduce. Amen? They won't make it in. Murderers. This not only refers to acts of homicide, it also speaks of the attitude of the heart. 1 John 3:15, whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. So it's not only pulling out a gun and shooting somebody, it's having a heart that is filled with murder or hatred. Remember what our Lord Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You've got to be born again to do that, don't you? You don't naturally love your enemies. You do not naturally want to bless those who curse you. You do not naturally want to do good to them that hate you. And you do not want to pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. You've got to be born again to do that. You must be. And when you're born again, God takes hatred out of your heart. Now, it still is in your flesh. But you can't tolerate it. You won't let it stay there. The Spirit of God will not allow that to reside there. He's given you a new heart, a new spirit. Some of the most convicting literature that I've ever read have been the accounts of Corrie ten Boom and Elizabeth Elliot, who talk about how after their husbands were murdered, they went back to witness to the very same people who murdered their husbands and led them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You've got to be born again to do that, especially if you're Italian. A lot of Italians out there, huh? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. You get a me, I get a you. Well, I still have old Uncle Charlie on my cell phone. He owes me one for a long time ago. Oh, you got them on your cell phone, huh? But you know what I'm saying. When you're born again, God gives you a new heart. He gives you a heart like his son had. And his son looked at the multitudes and he was moved with compassion on them. And then idolaters. The root word of idolatry means an image worshiper. And it's much more than bowing before a statue or some kind of an icon. We are a nation that worships all kinds of things. Did you know? I heard yesterday that they did. This is incredible. Now, I don't know who does this research, but I was listening to a Bible study by John Corson, and he was saying that there is this group that studies church attendance, and they noticed that since, this is what he said, it was on his last Sunday's Bible study, since American Idol and Jersey Shore, they're usually on Wednesday night, church attendance has dropped 28%. You say, oh, I can't believe it. Now, this isn't about going to church, but there's a lot of other programs. There's a lot of other things that go on. I'm not going to come. People call. You having Bible study on Super Bowl Sunday? You're kidding. You're going to Bible study Sunday night? Why?
Can we watch the Super Bowl?
Well, you can watch it if you want to. That's when attendance really plummets. All right. I can hear my wife saying to me, honey, behave yourself. Idolatry is basically when you worship creation or the creature more than the creator. Whosoever loves and makes a lie, that's pretty plain and simple. These people will not make it into the kingdom of God. They'll not make it into heaven. Don't try to reinterpret or reinvent the scriptures. That's what God says. Why? Why does he put it in bold print? Why has it been possible for people, especially now since the advent of the printing press, why has it been made available to us? Because God wants you in heaven. And so he warns you, you're not going to make it in. When you read this, if you're on this list, don't think that he's going to change the rules when you stand before him. He's not. These people won't make it into the kingdom of God, but they're nice people. Nice isn't good enough. But everyone else is doing it. What does that mean? If everyone else was jumping in a pool of quicksand, would you jump in? That's not the issue. The Lord, in his great love for us, says these are people who are not born again. They're not going to enter into the kingdom of God. And then Jesus says, verse 16, last verse for this morning. Don't get all excited. I'm just telling you it's the last verse. I'm not saying I'm going to be done in 2 minutes. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Notice, this is the first reference to churches since the letters to the churches at the beginning of the book. But Jesus identifies himself two other ways. He is the root and he is the offspring of David. Mark chapter 12, verses 35 through 37, Jesus answered and said while he taught in the temple, "How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool.' David therefore calls him Lord. And whence is he then his son?" And the common people heard him gladly. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is both David's creator and David's descendant. You see, there's a lot of people that have claimed to be Christ because maybe they have Jewish blood in them, but not a single one of them other than Jesus was David's creator. You got to get the right Jesus, the correct Jesus. The doctrine of the Messiah, that he would be Lord and descendant of David, is testified in both testaments. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." And then in Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, we read, "And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.'" Jesus Christ is both greater than David, and he's the rightful heir to the throne of David. But he's the bright and the morning star. I like that. As the light of dawn approaches, the morning star announces the start of a new day. The dark night is past. And for the Christians, for us, beloved, Jesus Christ is the comforting light in a dark world until the dawn of his return. He's the day star who dwells in our hearts by faith. The bright and morning star, Jesus Christ, is the ruler whom Balaam foresaw arising from Israel to conquer the nations. Numbers 24:17, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth." That's Jesus. There's only one star in the body of Christ, and that's Jesus. Now, there are some people that think that they're stars, but they're falling stars. There's only one star in the body of Christ, and that's Jesus Christ himself. Now, the Bible gives a lot of titles to Satan. One of my personal titles of Satan, it's not in the Bible, but it's a title that I refer him to many times. Satan is the great wannabe. The great wannabe. You say, well, where'd you get that from? Well, in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, we read, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" The Hebrew word for Lucifer is a word which means the morning star. Isn't it interesting? Jesus identifies himself as the bright and morning star, and the name Lucifer in Hebrew means the morning star. Since he fell from his exalted position in glory, you and I know that Satan has always desired to be worshipped as God. He is called in 2 Corinthians an angel of light. He's called in 2 Corinthians the God of this fallen world system. He's identified in Scripture as the one who steals and kills and destroys souls, marriages, nations, churches. He's a liar. He's a father of all lies. He's the author and finisher of every false religion or religious system. He is the one who invented the slogan, "All roads and all religions lead to God." Jesus, the bright and morning star, said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. No man can come unto the Father
but by me.
You see, coming to Koinonia Fellowship, putting the money in the Agape box can't save you. Catholicism cannot save you. And let's have a double barrel cannon here. Being a Protestant can't save you. Some people think, well, I was born a Lutheran. Big deal. Born a Baptist. Born a Presbyterian. Protestantism can't save you. No ism can save you. No religion or man can save you. And my friend, you can't save yourself. You and I are the problem. If I try harder, if I pray harder, if I work harder. Now, there's only one bright and morning star who loves you and who cares for your soul. There's only one bright and morning star who can save you from your sin. And that person is my Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross of Calvary for your sin, that you, through faith in him, might be reconciled to God. Paul the Apostle said in Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to all that believe, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel, my friend, is not try harder. The gospel is not do better. The gospel is not pray longer. The gospel is not read more chapters. The gospel is not pour more money into the box. The gospel is not recite the creeds. The gospel is trust in Jesus with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength and serve him in spirit and in truth with the rest of your life. I would encourage you today, if you have never made that decision to receive Christ in your heart as Lord, that you would do that today. That you would realize, like myself and many others in this room, that your righteousness is nothing but a filthy rag. You can't stand before a holy God on your own. There's only one whose righteousness is accepted in the presence of God, and that's the righteousness of Christ that is imputed to you when you repent of your sin and trust in Christ. And if that is you, more about Christ, we would love to pray with you. Or if that's a little bit intimidating to you, what are they going to do when I get up there? They're going to massage my forehead or something like that? Or what are they going to do? No, we just want to pray with you. Pray with you. Give you a Bible if you want one. In fact, if any of you want a Bible, they're in the back of the chairs in front of you. Take them. I'd rather see you take the Bible and give it to someone at work, somebody that goes to the, take them. God will replenish them every week. Take them and give them away to somebody, as long as they're going to read them. Okay? But if that's what's resonating in your heart, know this. That means God's working in you. God's stirring you up. See, because I knew I was going to heaven before I got saved. New, quote unquote. Why? I had more vowels in my last name, and I was baptized the Roman Catholic. I was in. Now, you guys can laugh. You probably felt the same way, many of you. And then God. Every person that is born again, Catholic or Protestant or whatever, has a Damascus road. Maybe today that's you. We would love to pray with you. Bless the Lord,
oh my soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.